Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise as we enter our fifth week of Lent for these beautiful scripture readings that remind us of your mercy, that you came to bring us back to life and rescue us from the darkness of sin, and that grace perfects nature. So we ask you to open our hearts to encounter your mercy even more in our own lives and to be eager to share it with those around us who are living in self-condemnation or in despair. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. I think some of the most beautiful words in Scripture in the New Testament are penned from St. John, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish or die, but be experience eternal life. And God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And everything Jesus did in his person as the Son of God and Son of Man, the only begotten Son of God, reveals this truth to us. And today we see this incredible encounter with this poor woman caught in adultery. Have you ever wondered, where was the man? How come he wasn't responsible? The last time I checked, it takes two to tango, as they say. But that was kind of the culture of the time. But at any rate, you can imagine the humiliation and embarrassment and fear she must have had in her heart as she was dragged before Jesus, and possibly at the risk of losing her life. And yet Jesus extends mercy to her and disarms their desire for vengeance and to use her as a pawn. You know, they were trying to trap Jesus. And how many times do people, when they come up with ideologies, don't see the humanity of people and just use them as pawns to promote their own agenda? That's something that's happened historically and continues to happen today, where we lose sight that this is a human being and we don't know her whole story and how she wound up in this awful place. But she's a human being, a child of God. And so we have to be very careful that as we are passionate about certain things in our life, maybe politics or even our faith, that we never dehumanize people and use them as a pawn to promote our cause or whatever it might be. And a lot of people do that. We want to make sure that we're building, and St. Thomas Aquinas once said that grace perfects nature, it doesn't destroy it. So God did not come to condemn, but to heal us from sin and to bring us back into friendship with himself and with the Blessed Trinity. So everything Jesus does reveals that to us. And we think about how contrary this cancel culture is to that message. You know, when people mess up, people want to just jump on them, judge them, and write them off, and they fall into despair thinking there's no way out from their mistakes. And we've all probably been there. We've been at the arm of somebody who's very judgmental to us and doesn't see any good in us, so we know how disappointing that is and how hurtful that is. And God's never like that. When we come to him, he tells us the truth, go and sin no more. You know, that's not good for you. It's against your dignity. It's against the commandments God has given you. But I can help you out of that. I can help you with any problem you're struggling with in your life. And that's the nature of our Lord. So repentance always opens the door to grace and healing. And a lot of times when you meet people who maybe are really judgmental and they really don't seem to have a great sense of mercy, they themselves are damaged very badly and wounded. And so they're living out of some kind of wound or false sense of self, and so they can't possibly forgive or extend mercy to someone else when they haven't experienced it themselves and opened the door to repentance and healing in their own life. I remember sitting down with somebody once who was complaining about how often at youth conventions, when they had a guest speaker give a testimony, it was somebody, you know, who maybe came from a broken background and got into drugs or something or alcohol, and then they came to the Lord and he restored them. And they would often have people come and give those kind of testimonies. And this person came into my office and was complaining, I can't relate to that. My kids don't mess up like that, and so they can't relate to that. And to which I replied, aren't you just happy they found their way back to the Lord when they were in an awful place? No response, stone face. And as we continued our appointment, I just began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And I really think something was very broken and damaged in this person, that they couldn't relate at all to the joy of encountering God's mercy, like they were above it or something. But usually that indicates that there's some kind of tremendous trauma or wound in people. And so we have to reveal the true faith, the true nature of God, the true face of Jesus, that you've got to be honest about what you're struggling with, but he can help you with that. You know, I was just quoting a few minutes ago, Revelations 3, I think 21, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in and I will dine with you. I can help you with your problems, but open the door of your heart to me and to my mercy. And remember St. Faustina telling us in her wonderful diary that humankind will have no peace until it has recourse to my mercy. We're all broken, we're all sinners, and to pretend that we're not is really stupid. I mean, it's 1 John says that if anyone says they're without sin, they're a liar. You know, we're all sinners, and some days I'm reminded of that tremendously, you know, in my own life. But I know where to go when I'm broken, I do something wrong so that I don't fall into Worldly despair leads to death. But godly sorrow leads to a solitary repentance, it says in 2 Corinthians. So when we have a problem and we mess up and we fall away from God and we rebel, we know where to go to get our healing. Amen? And that's a beautiful thing, because that leads to hope. And to the first reading, the events of the past will be forgotten. Behold, I'm doing something new. And in Revelation, it says that, behold, I make all things new. And that encounter with the Lord's mercy, it does make all things new. Somebody recently reported, I don't ever want to break the seal of confession, as they were leaving, I feel lighter. I feel a lot more joy right now. Praise the Lord. That's the whole purpose of that sacrament, is to give us back again the joy of salvation when we've lost it. And we all lose it from time to time. And I want to end with one last point, and then I'm going to end with a little meditation. I believe that we're most happy and fulfilled when we're most concerned about our own conversion and not judging others and finding out what's wrong with them. And I know I told you years ago I went through a period in the seminary where I was most interested in picking apart everything around me. I was a pretty miserable person to be around, I think. If you ask my friends, they'd probably say, amen, you know. And then I went to spiritual direction. The spiritual director said, you know, you might be a little more happy if you focus on your own life and your relationship with the Lord. Duh. But somehow I just got into this, well, let's find fault with everything else except me. And I wasn't happy. I can tell I was not a happy person. I always thinking of my next argument while I'm laying in bed at night, if somebody comes up to argue with me. And then I read this incredible article in New Covenant magazine, and that was a total turnaround. I actually found it in the library in Chicago and hand-typed it out before scanners to share it with other people. So yesterday, while we were having our finance council meeting, I shared a meditation. Some people are here that were there. But I want to share it again, because if you're discouraged and maybe your Lent hasn't gone the way you thought it would, don't be discouraged. I had a Lent where I was going to do all kinds of things, and I got to like the last week of Lent, right before Holy Week, and nothing had happened. So I went into spiritual direction all deflated. Like, this has been the worst Lent I've ever experienced. I was going to do this and this and this and this, and now we're starting Holy Week, and I've done nothing. And my spiritual director, in his wisdom, said, there's still another week left. You may have started really bad, but you can have a happy ending. I had the most incredible Holy Week. I went to confession. I had the most incredible Holy Week that year. And maybe God was saying, you know, you set out to do all these things, but you really didn't pray about them and discern properly, and that's not what I had in mind for you, so it didn't happen. When you seek me with your heart, you will find me. So these are encouraging words from this priest. He's a monk. He's a Benedictine monk. He's anonymous, although I know what country he lives in, the Holy Land, Ireland, because one of my friends went and visited this monastery. But he's supposed to be anonymous, but he has a special vocation to go in Eucharistic adoration and to pray for priests whose hearts have grown cold and they're no longer really zealous in serving the Lord. And so he writes down all these things that happened to him while he's sitting in front of the Lord in adoration. And this is encouraging, especially if your Lent hasn't gone the way you thought it might go. I think this will really encourage you. So all ears, okay? It's called Insigne Jesu, at the chest of Jesus. It's a reference in Latin to John reclining at the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. It says the following. So this is him. Here I asked our Lord about my daily routine. So often I'm tired and need to rest. I feel guilty about not being able to keep up what I could see as a more normal daily round of prayer and activities. Sometimes I cannot say all the office. That weighs on me. So I asked our Lord what I should be doing. And here he answers him. For now, your daily routine is what you can do. I will help you, and my mother will help you, gently and little by little, to make the changes that are necessary. Do not give in to the feelings of guilt that assail you, because you're not living up to the ideal you set for yourself. I do not ask you to be faithful to an ideal. I ask you only to be my friend and to live at every moment in the grace of my divine friendship. All the rest follows. Perfection is the fruit of friendship with me, not a precondition for it. You and many souls like you are confused about this. My friendship is not earned. It is not something acquired by measuring up to the standards of perfection that you have set for yourself. My friendship is pure gift. It is the gift of my sacred heart, and I offer it freely. So few souls understand this. You are sanctified by living in my friendship. All the rest is secondary. Love me and believe in my unconditional love for you. Trust me. Show me that you have confidence in my merciful goodness, especially when you experience weakness or shame or fear, and I will renew the grace of my love in your heart. I will uphold you with the gift of my unfailing presence. I am the friend who will never forsake you. Let that be enough for you. Amen. Amen.